For the rest of his visit, I steered the conversation away from Martha. At the end, though, as we were walking out to his car, I told him that I'd like to write a story about some of this. Jimmy thought it over and then gave me a little smile. "Why not?" he said. "Maybe she'll read it and come begging. There's always hope, right?" "Right," I said. He got into his car and rolled down the window. "Make me out to be a good guy, okay? Brave and handsome, all that stuff. Best platoon leader ever." He hesitated for a second. "And do me a favor. Don't mention anything about..." "No," I said. "I won't." Spin. The war wasn't all terror and violence. Sometimes things could almost get sweet. For instance, I remember a little boy with a plastic leg. I remember how he hopped over to Azar and asked for a chocolate bar. "GI number one," the kid said, and Azar laughed and handed over the chocolate. When the boy hopped away, Azar clucked his tongue and said, "War's a bitch." He shook his head sadly. "One leg, for Christ's sake. Some poor fucker ran out of ammo." I remember Mitchell Sanders sitting quietly in the shade of an old banyan tree. He was using a thumbnail to pry off the body lice, working slowly, carefully depositing the lice in a blue USO envelope. His eyes were tired. It had been a long 2 weeks in the bush. After an hour or so, he sealed up the envelope, wrote free in the upper right-hand corner, and addressed it to his draft board in Ohio. On occasions, the war was like a ping-pong ball. You could put fancy spin on it. You could make it dance. I remember Norman Bowker and Henry Dobbins playing checkers every evening before dark. It was a ritual for them. They'd dig a foxhole and get the board out and play long, silent games as the sky went from pink to purple. The rest of us would sometimes stop by to watch. There was something restful about it, something orderly and reassuring. There were red checkers and black checkers. The playing field was laid out in a strict grid, no tunnels or mountains or jungles. You knew where you stood, you knew the score, the pieces were out on the board, the enemy was visible. You could watch the tactics unfolding into larger strategies. There was a winner and a loser. There were rules. I'm 43 years old and a writer now, and the war has been over for a long while. Much of it's hard to remember. I sit at this typewriter and stare through my words and watch Kiowa sinking into the deep muck of a shit field, or Kurt Lemon hanging in pieces from a tree, and as I write about these things, the remembering is turned into a kind of re-happening. Kiowa yells at me. Kurt Lemon steps from the shade into bright sunlight, his face brown and shining, and then he soars into a tree. The bad stuff never stops happening. It lives in its own dimension, replaying itself over and over. But the war wasn't all that way. Like when Ted Lavender went too heavy on the tranquilizers. "How's the war today?" somebody would say, and Ted Lavender would give a soft, spacey smile and say, "Mellow, man. We got ourselves a nice, mellow war today."